Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. I'm your host, Sabine M. And in today's episode, I'm actually not speaking with the CRE expert, but with my colleagues, John Goldschmidt and Matt Goliath from the Locati US office, to discuss results of our recent corporate real estate survey. Hi everyone, I'm sitting with, virtually again, with my colleagues from the US. We have actually never met in person because they were hired during the pandemic and nobody's been traveling. And it's actually also the first time I really get to ask a lot of questions to the two of you. Normally, it's the other way around. Kind of excited for that. So let's start it. My first question would be for the two of you. What are you doing at Locati? And what are your professional backgrounds? In which industries have you worked before?
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks, Sabina, for having us on. This is John Goldschmidt. I am a member of the sales team and one of the two here in the US as we expand. My professional background began mostly in financial services. I was working at a bank doing financial analysis and in real estate investment. So I began in the real estate world in the finance side. And then I kind of slowly moved into fintech and more into technology, working for different early stage companies, doing product and business development. And that's been the last 7 or 8 years, mostly enterprise B2B. And then here I am at Locati and excited to kind of bring things full circle between business development and real estate.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Matt Goliath. So I started with John as well a couple months ago. We're based out of New York City. My background is a combination of both SaaS and real estate. So it was kind of the perfect fit for Locati. I started actually working for a French startup that was in SaaS and we did a media monitoring type of service. So I did that for a couple of years and kind of cut my teeth with SaaS sales there. And most recently, I was working for WeWork on their enterprise sales team. That was my intro to real estate. It was at a time when WeWork was really kind of exploding. It was pre-attempted IPO. So I learned a lot about real estate for the 2 years that I was there. And joined Locati in December. And John and I have been kind of attacking the US market since we started.
One thing I like to ask people is what their office experience is. And what I mean by that is, in what kind of workplace configurations have you worked? And which did you like? And what don't you like?
My experience has pretty much consistently been in co-working spaces. So when I worked for that first SaaS company, I was actually working out of a WeWork. We had a couple of different office layouts and sizes as the team grew. But that was a shared co-working environment where we had a private office and then a lot of common areas that we were able to use. And after joining Locati, we got a WeWork. So I'm still working out of a co-working space. And then in between when I was working for WeWork, I was, working out of a WeWork as well. So my professional experience has been a lot of WeWork. Within WeWork's corporate headquarters, there's a lot of different types of spaces for us to work from. Their headquarters is kind of like a sandbox where they try out different environments that they're going to then push throughout their WeWorks around the world. So we had a lot of activity-based spaces, a lot of collaboration spaces throughout the WeWork headquarters in New York City.
Okay. And John?
So I've been reading a lot and just, obviously involved a lot in the conversation around workplaces and how they're set up. And there was an interesting kind of historical analysis that was written up in the New Yorker not too long ago. And they talked about the cubicle, the whole like cubicle dynamic, and how they started out with people having assigned desks. And then eventually they created these partitions between desks and the partitions got higher and the cubicles got smaller. Anyway, it turned into, this farm where people go and sit down and do work in these little cells. And the description of this gave me chills because that's where I started. In finance, when I was there working at the banks, that's what we did. You'd pop your head up like a prairie dog and like you could see some people, but then you'd go back down into your little space. And that's kind of where I began. And like I said, it wasn't the most pleasant experience. And I really, as I moved into more technology, there were these more progressive workplaces, flexible seating was getting more popular. And I really think that it brings more humanity into the workplace. And I haven't been back into a bank, you know, in that setting for a while. So I don't know if they, how much they're embracing it, but my understanding is people are becoming more creative across the board. But, you know, all that is to say that I kind of began in that space. I think I just feel a lot more aligned with the way things are going. And I think most people feel that way. So that's kind of my take on the whole thing.
You went through the full evolution of the workspace, it sounds like it, coming from the cubicle.
That's right.
Going to co-working.
Yep.
Great. Joining Locaty, you've learned about a new industry, maybe, corporate real estate. How did you go about understanding that profession? Maybe John, because Matt's been in a WeWork world before.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think kind of what I described around the evolution that I've experienced is how I've learned, you know, how I've learned what it is that we're trying to accomplish because I've lived in all these environments. More specifically, when it comes down to the details of the job of a corporate real estate manager, it's been much more training through Locaty, understanding the different professional titles and what their responsibilities are, getting to know some of the other third parties who are involved, and just, you know, how we from the technology side fit in, you know, what's our piece of the puzzle.
Would you say there was any big learning or surprise for you?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a surprise, but I would say that there was learning around understanding who the people are, you know, what a facility manager's role is versus maybe the corporate real estate manager. And then of course how the different verticals within the organization fit in. So more and more, you know, HR and the chief information officer and the ESG folks and everybody at the organization has a role to play. So I think getting to know that is still a learning process. And of course, at every organization, it's a little bit different.
That's true. The stakeholders on the table for corporate real estate, that's quite a broad network. Now, Matt, you've been with WeWork. Any learnings from that time that you could bring?
Yeah, of course. So a lot. So that was my first experience discussing corporate real estate. So, I mean, everything that I was doing was new to me. But I think what was most interesting was to learn about the strategy that goes into creating different spaces and understanding the different work styles that different teams have. So the accounting team is probably working in an environment that looks a lot different than the sales team. One of the things that we really focused on at WeWork was providing environments that allowed people to do their job really well and have different options throughout the day. So that was really interesting to me at WeWork and kind of continuing on at Locaty here. You know, part of what we're doing is helping people understand how their space is being used. So it all kind of ties into one.
Yeah. Now, the reason that I'm speaking to you is we've recently did a study of corporate real estate in the US. Now, you're my extension to the US, so I want to verify some stuff with you. And the first thing that I wanted to run by you was that something that was brought up is that the most common workspace configuration that was mentioned is still assigned space. And surprisingly, the cubicles turned up as well a lot. To say it in numbers, it was 66% of assigned seating currently from the respondents. And their outlook on the next 2 years for the future was still at 62%. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, that surprises me just because I personally haven't had experience working in an environment where I had an assigned seat and I haven't sold assigned seats. So I personally had no experience in it and kind of thought it was a way of the past. But John, I know you have a little more experience with it.
Yeah, I mean, it surprises me because I think obviously that's the way that things were done for a long time. And I feel like there's been a lot of kind of forward thinking in terms of how work gets done that would have changed that. I guess the fact is that people have opinions. Everybody has maybe a different way of wanting to do things. So some folks feel that, you know, they can really be effective with one place to go and with three or four walls around them that they're very familiar with. But the point is, and the thing that I think we're trying to drive home is that that's not for everybody. So does it make sense to have 100 cubicles and require everybody to sit in just one of them? I'm surprised that there's still such a high percentage. Of course, that's the way that I still envision things because that's the way it was when I was there, but I'm surprised it hasn't changed more.
when we say that the most common workspace configuration has been and is still anticipated to be assigned space, is that because it's been determined that that is the most effective style, or that's what is currently in buildings and there's not an appetite to change it?
So that's actually an interesting aspect, because the survey did surface as well when we asked if they think that in the future assigned spaces are going to be effective to achieve their business goals. They said no to that in the majority. So that's why it surprised me a little. But what you're saying might be a very valid reason that maybe within that 2 years time span, not too much change is going to happen, because if you have a lease running and you're anticipating to move, maybe, or don't know if you want to stay, you probably hold back until that point in time and then you set up something completely new. That's an interesting aspect, yes. Also, what I'm thinking could be an aspect is differences in geography or industry, because when we speak about the US, it's a huge company. As if you compare it to Europe, you have fractions with different companies and countries and stuff. So is that something that you have a view on?
My thought, it goes back to kind of what I mentioned with the workplaces being based on maybe people's environments at home. In every part of the country, people have different home environments. And whether it's by part of the country or by whether you're in a more urban versus suburban environment, I think that comes into play for sure. I think that is that could have something to do with it. And same goes for, to your point, same goes for US versus Europe, of course, versus Asia. We're not there yet, but I imagine we will be.
Another survey finding was around priorities and business initiatives, and pretty much on top came out actually supporting business performance and productivity, but then as well, cost management and reduction in space optimization. Is that something that in your conversations that comes up as well as the main priorities of projects and initiatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly over the past year, there's been a lot of changes that are driving people to rethink their portfolios and how to optimize them and where to save money specifically. So definitely the conversations that I'm having today are with teams that are rethinking their space needs moving forward and where there are opportunities to reduce, consolidate as a way to save some money. And then the space that they are going to retain, how to optimize it to perform, better than it has ever in the past.
Yeah. We've read from the survey, though, as well, that in the five-year projection, the workplace is seen as a champion of brand and culture, as well as employee comfort. And I actually think in terms to realize that there's no way around going to a more flexible workplace model, because it's going to be focused more, at least in my view, on the employee experience in such environments. But that requires change of the setup and also change management within the companies. What blocking points could you imagine popping up along the journey?
I mean, I would say that the biggest blocking point is just change itself. People not being comfortable with new ways of doing things. Really, you see that in any industry, in any facet of life, especially when technology starts getting involved, there are always going to be people who are resistant to it. If you look across time, there's always going to be that. So that's probably the biggest one. I mean, we've obviously encountered situations with department, tech IT and people being a little bit resistant because we need to make sure that we're being compliant and everything like that. But I think at Locati, we've figured that out and, we have solutions for all those things, but it's just the psyche. That's the thing, is getting people comfortable with kind of a new way of thinking about things.
Yeah. And to that point, I think there's so much uncertainty as to, what the world is going to look like in the next even 6 months. So, we have people that are trying to figure out plans for years out and not understanding what they're going to be able to do as from an occupancy perspective, for example, in the short term. So this is totally uncharted territory. And I think just having to try to forecast what the world's going to look like, given the state of things today, is really a tough thing to do.
Yeah, because we will base all the scenarios on a lot of assumptions. I mean, you can start with, okay, how much flex work will the company allow going forward? But then you will have to start thinking about to what extent are people actually going to use it and leverage it, and how will the turn-up rate be? Because then the space demand changes very much based on that. And you will have to find a complete new system of metrics to reference that as well. So yeah, it's a tough challenge currently.
Can I just get a little bit whimsical for a second?
Of course.
This is.
I might have to Google what whimsical means, though. Let me check.
Sure. So I think we have, don't we have somebody at Locati who's like a fortune teller or an astrologer or something? Is that you?
True.
Is that you, Sabina? I feel like there's somebody who, you know, that came up one time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a lot of things, including a yoga teacher, but not a fortune teller.
Okay. So there's this idea that we are entering, or we've just entered, in the age of Aquarius. And there was a lot of disruption in 2020. What the age of Aquarius is all about is kind of when humanity takes control of the earth, right? I'm not a huge astrologer or anything, but I think we've seen some truth to that, you know, across the board, just in the way things are happening with, let's say, financial markets, with technology and exploration. We can make a parallel here too, where people are, employees are a little more control of how they do work and being productive in the way that suits them the most. So I think this kind of, this idea, it's ripe. And I think, you know, these roadblocks of people wanting to hold on to the status quo, I think this is the right time. And I think 2021 is hopefully going to be the time when, beyond the necessity that was created out of COVID, you know, it's going to be a time when people just accept the fact that there's like a new way of doing things. So I think we should have our resident astrologer on the show to kind of verify all these things.
Yeah. I'll take a note of that as for your suggestion on the next podcast guest.
We need a fortune teller.
Exactly. Now, what's funny is yesterday I listened to a YouTube video on people resilience. And what they said was that as bad as it's been, COVID's kind of the portal for us to really change something. As much as it is a hassle right now, it's an opportunity to do something different. Because when we look at the workspace, and we're talking again about cubicles, about people working long hours and stuff, the workplace we had before was not healthy. And the numbers showed that also in utilization rates. We knew that even before lockdowns, utilization rate in an office never came to a target utilization of 90%. It was around 60, 70 on average at the globe. So we should take that as a, I don't want to say cry for help, but as a sign that change is due. Okay, now speaking of change in the office, and we touched upon assigned space not being probably the way forward. And there are a lot of discussions around the purposes that the office in the future needs to serve. So now I'm going to ask you personally, you have the option of going to a co-working currently, of the Locati co-working office space. What are the reasons for you to go there? What's the purpose that you find there, or the equipment or the collaboration? What's it that drives you to the office or drives you to stay at home?
I think from an equipment perspective, for our job at least, there's not much of a difference. I think over the past year, people who were able to, you know, who had the luxury of being able to kind of outfit their home to have its own space for working, did it. So I know that's true for me. All I basically use is a monitor and a laptop. So when I go in the office, I'm working at a desk on my laptop just as I would be at home. So the only real difference is, you know, a change of environment and collaboration. You know, the office isn't what it was a year ago. Collaboration's a lot more difficult. But I don't think, for me personally, staying in the house by myself with my dog all day, every day is ever going to be the answer. So the way things are today, where I have the option to go in when I need a change of pace or I need to have a meeting, that suits me well. And then on days when it's easier to be at home, you know, I have the luxury of being able to do that too.
How about you, John?
Yeah, I would say to me, it boils down to one word, that is snacks. you know, when you're
availability of snacks are at home or in the office?
It's a double-edged sword, because when I'm at home, I find myself going to the kitchen every 5 minutes and looking for food. So I can't have any food at my home, or else I would just, you know, which I will eat it all. But I love going into the co-working space and going to the office, because there, you know, I get a nice cold brew, I get some coffee, and I can pop up and get that as I need it. But I can't be there all the time because I'll be shamed for eating as much as I would normally eat. but seriously, no, it's I think it's nice to have a place to go with a a monitor is great, especially when you're, you know, you need to have a couple screens going. So that's one reason why having the office space is good versus just working out of a cafe, for example. But I think we all have at this point setups that are mirrored between our office space and, you know, at home space. So it really is just about, you know, I feel like start the day and what meetings do you have and where are you going to be most productive? You know, where are you going to be able to put your head down and either put your head down and get work done, or take a call without interruptions, or, you know, feel comfortable. To me, I like having a lot of activity around. I'm sitting at home. I have the avenue right outside my window, and I really love that. And sometimes when I go into the workspace, if I can't sit by a window, I might not be feeling quite as productive for whatever reason. It's just everybody has a, you know, a day by day, and also just a personality around where they can be most productive. For me, it comes down to snacks.
No, but that's funny as well. A lot of companies have undertaken looking at different working personas as well, because as you said, there's different kind of preference and also tolerance towards things. So for me, for example, I've noticed I have no problem sitting in an open plan office with 50 people on the phone. I can still do my work, but that's how I started as well. I was in an open plan office with all my facility manager colleagues around having calls with people. So I got used to it. But some people like to be in a very quiet environment for that kind of thing. So very valid points. As a closing comment, I would ask you, if you could magically solve any real estate problem for the US, what would it be?
One of the quote unquote problems or challenges that people are facing, and real estate managers and people in the real estate industry are facing, is utilization, right? I mean, if people are working from home more, they're not going to be going to the office. And that affects not just corporate real estate managers, but it affects people who have commercial space, people who have residential space. So I think one of the things that could be addressed here would be more of a public policy, or more of like a kind of a governance issue around zoning. And we're envisioning this hybrid workplace where people are at home or at the office. Why not bring those two together even more by not separating the office so specifically from places where people would eat or shop and those kind of things? I feel like it is kind of antiquated. I know there are reasons for it, and there has to be probably some, you know, a lot of strategy around this, but why not try to take some of the empty office spaces and turn them into other things that people would love to be around, whether it's gyms or shopping or, you know, food, and then ultimately make the city or the workplace this kind of melting pot of lifestyles, instead of necessarily having office zoned one place, retail underneath it, or somewhere else. I think in New York City, we're a lot closer to that just because of how dense it is. But I think even here, there could be more of it. And I would imagine the same is true in European cities.
I think that's a good idea. And I think a lot of people are vested in that, in exploring how can we build better neighborhoods, because that's one of the things that has come out of what people enjoy about home office is the time they're not wasting on commuting. Because look at London, you go to central London and there's nothing but these office buildings. Or like, I think it's Canary Wharf, where it's just these high rises and nothing else. Nobody lives there. I mean, some people might, but it's not like that. And then also, Switzerland, we have a high office vacancy, actually. And then looking into the future, you could imagine this is going to be even higher. But what do we do with these assets that are already there? I mean, that's a resource that's wasted and the area is already sealed. So Better make a good use of it.
I would love to know, you know, one of the things that I love, going back to the food thing, is like, there's a grocery store right next to the WeWork, you know, there's a Whole Foods. So I'm almost incentivized. Like, I love the fact that I can go there, you know, even if it is a 15 minute commute or 20 minute commute, which isn't that long, but I'm willing to take the 15 minutes versus just working from home, because guess what? I can kill two birds with one stone. Go to the office, get my work done, end of the day, literally on my way home, you know, grab something on the way out the door, whether it's groceries or food to eat, prepared food. I envision, you know, a lot of times when people think about the office, it's like another stop, or, you know, it's like, I don't want to go in the office because I'm going X far out of my way. But if I had the grocery store in the same building, I'm going to the grocery store anyway later. So might as well go to the office, do my work there today. And then I can get my dry cleaning and take the dog, pick up the dog, and, you know, do all these other things that are all in one place.
I have to say, that's actually not a new, I mean, having amenities nearby is not a new employee experience feature that we didn't know before. When we were programming for a new office in Moscow, back in my corporate real estate manager time, we had a huge list of amenities that should be included. And there was, of course, like a fitness something. And if we didn't build the fitness ourselves, we made sure it would be in the vicinity. But then there was also like ideas of being close to a commercial center, actually, so that you could do groceries, that you could go to the hairdresser, that you could bring your dry cleaning, that you could even maybe go to the movies right after work with your colleagues. And Matt, what's the thing that you would like to solve?
I think one of the biggest challenges right now is, like we said before, the unknown and trying to figure out what the future workplace is going to look like. And I think one of the unique challenges for corporate real estate is the cost that goes into trying new things. And that's something that, you know, John and I as sales guys, we don't have to deal with. So if we want to try a new email to try to reach prospects, we just try it. Or if we want to call, we just call. But if you're a corporate real estate leader and you're trying to figure out, you know, what the best layout is, or how many buildings do I need in New York City? Like, these are major decisions that are expensive and long-term. So I think if I could magically change one thing, it would be the ability to test out different environments in a way that was, you know, fast and expensive. And that's not going to be the reality. So the result is there needs to be a good understanding of what you think the plan is going to be moving forward. And then you just kind of got to stick with it. So that's the reality of it.
Okay, so John, Matt, thank you very much for taking the time. There were some really interesting bits for me in here in pondering over corporate real estate in the US. The future is out there. It's never been more true than now. And we have not yet found the magic formula. We're slowly iterating to getting to a quantified workspace to do that testing more quickly that you mentioned, Matt, and to find ways of building inclusive spaces, maybe for retail, living, and all these things, interesting neighborhoods. And I'd hope revitalizing with more natural areas as well. That would be my wish for the future, more green areas and also outdoor areas to work in, because that's what I enjoy a lot. Ah, I see Matt's in on that with me. And also, I'd be very much up for bring your dog to work. So,
What about snacks?
I'm very specific about snacks.
just having all the snacks.
Having all the snacks. I mean, if there was a Whole Foods next to the office, I'd be in trouble as well. Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there is more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on corporate real estate in the US that you can download there. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.